I have no official musical training, no piece of paper saying that I can play the piano or that I can compose music. So, as far as anyone is concerned, I guess the proof is in what I do.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Andrew Gilpin, and I'm a musician and composer, and I guess what they now call an unschooler, but in my day we called it a homeschooler.
Carol Gilpin, I'm Andrew Gilpin's mother.
Your musical background, you were self-taught.
Self-taught, yeah. So that means no lessons, no teachers, nothing at all, which is a total opposite of my partner in Ebony and Ivory, Fred, who was a double graduate of Juilliard. I have no official musical training, no piece of paper saying that I can play the piano or that I can compose music. So, as far as anyone is concerned, I guess the proof is in what I do.
Okay, so you mean you had no lessons at all?
Well, my father tried to give me one when I was 8 years old, because I really wanted to play the piano. And so, of course, he first thought of a piano method. It was called teaching little fingers to play. It's a really old method, still around. And he opened the book and, you know, started showing me the first piece. Wasn't it Baseball Days or something? Yeah. And, of course, what I had been hearing him play on the piano was really exciting Scott Joplin ragtime music and that type of thing. And so he tried to get me to go through this method. And I couldn't do it. I didn't like the music. I wasn't interested. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going away from the piano for a few months and coming back to it in my own way. And that worked a lot better for me. So
actually, after that first lesson, he quit for about 6 months. Just wouldn't do anything at the piano. So we thought he'd never go back to it. And then my husband, who's also a musician, brought home from work a book of Ragtime by Scott Joplin. And he played some. And Andrew really, really loved it. So he went back to the piano, and what my husband did was he took pieces of staff paper, he wrote the notes on them, and taped them to the piano keys. So then Andrew could relate what was taped on the staff paper to the piano keys to what was on the staff in the music. And that's all he used. So he would go through the chords one by one, and I remember this very clearly. He would bang over and over until he got it right, and he'd know when it was right then. He'd move on to the next one. So it took about 6 months, and he was able to play one Joplin rag very slowly, not very musically, but he was able to get the notes. So he just went on from there. He just really, really wanted to play the material.
But you had an environment of music. Let's talk a bit about
yes.
The environment.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, my parents were always playing records. They both played the piano. Yeah, I was always hearing music, definitely.
And what kind of music were you hearing?
Ooh, classical, popular. You guys always played popular stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just all sorts of stuff. Different instrumental, orchestral, choral music, piano music, just all different sorts of things.
The first pull was the piano, then? It wasn't like another instrument or...?
It was piano. I remember early on I tried the violin a couple of times. Really?
Yeah.
I hated it.
Me too, actually.
I tried to play it. I just
You tried twice, actually.
I couldn't play it in tune. I mean, of course you couldn't play it in tune. I hardly tried it, but it just wasn't for me. So.
Same with me, actually. I actually tried to have lessons at age 6, and I wanted to have a violin at age 2. I had the choice between piano and violin at age 6, and I completely chose piano.
Yeah, I just had another question, because this is really, you know, this whole idea of, like, you didn't have to say, obviously you didn't say practice, it was his own, it was your own, right?
Yes.
It was your own project.
Oh, yeah.
You wanna talk, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I did it when I wanted to. And it was the same with working on the computer, which I did from about the same age, when I was about 8, till up till now. I was always sitting around either programming or reading or playing the piano, whatever struck my fancy at the time. And when you don't have a curriculum or someone telling you what to do, then, you know, if you want to sit at the piano for 3 hours, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Or 5 minutes, you can do that too.
Well, because I see the thing with me is I'm still unschooling myself. And I have a hard time, like, you know, when the kids are at lessons.
Go now, right now. Go on, practice right now.
It's true. That's why I do it. This is very, very interesting for me to really understand how actually letting the person have their own kind of project. Right? So, can we talk a little bit more about that?
Well, practice is a word we never used. Any more than we would use it about doing anything else. And it's kind of odd, because my husband and I have 5 university degrees between us. So we were schooled in the conventional way. But when we had Andrew, first of all, we did, you know, natural childbirth and breastfeeding, and just sort of we followed that way of child rearing. Educating your own child just seemed to come out of that.
CFMU.
You're composing, right? And so I'm just thinking, do you have a certain time where you really enjoy composing?
Usually late at night.
Me too.
Yeah?
I hate doing it in like the day. Mommy's always making me practice in the day because of the neighbors we have next door.
Oh, we don't have...
I do that either. It's her.
Oh, yeah? We don't have neighbors closed, so I can do it. Yeah, I know. We can do it anytime. Mm-hmm. But no, it's usually, yeah, after everybody else has gone to bed. It's just that quiet time, you know? It's really...
It's quiet. My sisters are always making all this noise whenever I practice.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I'm doing, like, the Royal Conservatory exam.
Oh, yes, I never did that.
So what do you love about being a musician, then?
I don't know, it's hard to articulate. It just feels right when I'm up there performing or when I'm sitting at home composing. It just, nothing else feels that right. There are other things I enjoy, but that's not, nothing else feels like music. I mean, there are certainly practical things that I like about it. I'm leaving on my mom and I are leaving on a trip to California on Saturday. We're going to be there for about 3 weeks. So, I mean, I love being able to travel and actually getting paid to travel. So that is really nice.
Yeah. Books. I was interested in maybe the books you might have read as growing up. If you had any other sources of inspiration, like, besides music.
Oh yeah, I read so many books. We always had a ton of books in the house. So,
do you continue to be inspired by books or like, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think it doesn't cross into music usually very much. They're separate, but I love reading. Yeah, so I still do. Every night, read in bed.
I'm just thinking of that one piece that you composed. And it has
Aes Sedai, yeah. It was based on that. Usually, not so much from books. I don't know where the ideas for compositions come from. They just appear.
I like composing. It's like, it just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does. It's a mystery.
When you're playing your song, then you're like, oh, the hell of all this. I'm going to play something much more fun. It's so annoying when I'm playing sonatinas because they take so much effort to get into them. Mm-hmm. And then they're the most marks, and that's like probably the most, so it's the most stress. They're the hardest songs in the book, and it's just...
But you don't have to do the conservatory, I will say that.
I want to throw this book at the window at the moment, but it's got all my favorite songs, so I can't throw it at the window. Maybe I should rip this page out. That'd be it.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me the scissors, will you, somebody?
You know,
I'm joking.
The problem with the conservatory is that they've taken really wonderful classical music and built a whole grading system around it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the music. They've just taken a bunch of old classical pieces and arranged them according to difficulty. But they've made it like school. Pretty
school,
much.
Right?
I mean, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all different levels. They've just arbitrarily assigned each piece. And, you know, when you finish grade 10 or you get your ARCT, then you've achieved something. Well, you've achieved a certain number of pieces a year, and you've achieved certain marks in exams.
Four in grade one and
four,
two.
And then is it five? Yeah. So how much of that, how much repertoire is that in terms of the total music that's been written? It's hardly any. So you haven't, you know, by the time you get to the end, if you haven't gone off on your own and explored more music, then you haven't been exposed to very much.
Yeah.
I played for Elise once. It's grade 7, but I didn't play very well. It was like, I played it too fast. That's just the way I play. I used to play. Now I like end loud, and it's kind of quiet and slower. But now I like quiet and slow things more.
Yeah, that's the way I was. I played stuff. I always held the... How long did I hold the pedal down for?
Oh. I put the pedal down all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to, but now I don't even do it very much.
I think until you were about 12, and then I couldn't stand it anymore.
I just did. Yeah, I just
one
always
day
did.
Too late.
Yeah. Oh, there.
So I did it till age 8.
Okay.
After that, I started at age 5 and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was a long time.
Me too.
What are some of your favorite composers? Or
composers, I have to say Franz Liszt, my favorite one. He knew the piano inside out, and he did things with it that no one else did, ever did before or has since.
Yeah.
So, a lot of composers from around kind of the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, just really romantic stuff with beautiful melodies. Yeah. So.
Any contemporary people?
Ooh, a few jazz musicians, I guess. I mean, that's sort of a different style, but...
Do you have any advice for young musicians or any comments or anything?
It's just important to follow what feels right to do and not what someone else tells you is right. And that's just the whole unschooling philosophy. Because no one else knows how it feels to you. You might like certain music, you might not like other music. Mm-hmm. And if someone stands there and tells you this is good and this isn't good, then, and that's a lot of what happens in school, especially music schools. They'll say, this is good music and this isn't good music. So for instance, my partner Fred, he goes to Juilliard. At Juilliard, they would say, jazz. There is no jazz. This is not good music. It isn't even music. The only music is classical, because it's a very serious school. If you went to Berklee College in Boston, they'd say, all those stuffy classical guys over at Juilliard. Jazz is the stuff we gotta look at. You know, if you went to Indiana University and studied, they might have a little bit of both, because they're not they're not totally one or the other. But the point is, those are all someone else's opinions.
So, yeah, I don't really like jazz music. I just like classical music,
exactly.
The band stuff.
Well, that's all I played till I was, how old was I, 89? 15, I guess?
Yeah.
And then I discovered jazz stuff. I started liking that.
Yeah, but, I listen to jazz, but I don't really like it very much. It's just... the notes just don't sound in the right places.
I know.
I
agree.
I just like minor key as well. I said I don't really like major stuff very much.
Mm-hmm.
Just minor.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, just pay attention to that.
Yeah, it's like I don't like being graded on the way I play, because I don't like playing like the way they do it. So say something that's not supposed to be fast, but I like it slow. I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, why should you play it the way it's made? It's
exactly.
It sounded nice after you've done it for a while, but it's just. Does sound kind of like I wanted to play Furley's fast. I played it fast and it didn't sound very good, but I liked playing it that way.
But then you discover that for yourself, you know, not
because
someone else has told you.
Yeah, I think as parents we have to trust our children more than we're led to believe we should, and I think we have to trust our own instincts more too. Not so much the experts, you know, they're always ready to tell us what to do and what our children do means. And once you get to be an older mother, you realize that the experts change, their opinions change, times change, ideas change. But what really doesn't change is that relationship between parent and child. And it's a very intimate relationship, and I think you have to trust it.
Thank you.
or Facebook on CFMU.
I remember when Andrew was a year old, he was just starting to walk, and he climbed up on a couch, and he took about 6 steps all by himself. And at that point, I was really surprised, and I reached my hand out to him, and I said, "Andrew, do you want Mommy to help you?" And he got this really closed look on his face, and I felt as if I had insulted him. Because what I found out is that when your child needs your help, they'll ask for it. And it's really important to remember that. And just to be there as a support, as a protector, as a resource. But you shouldn't impose.
And I can see that you continue to be a supporter. You're here and you're going to travel with
Well, it's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, family... I don't know, maybe our family just sort of developed differently from the way a lot of families develop because we did trust our instincts. So we never had that awful, you know, that awful teenage stuff that they hear about. I mean, he wasn't just a child, he was a person right from the beginning, right from when he was born. I remember saying when they handed him to me, I said, "My goodness, this is a little person." Because, you know, I didn't know what he was going to look like. Yeah. And there he was, a little person. And you sort of have to remember that and foster it.
Eva, did you have anything? Did you have anything more? Did you want to ask?
Yeah, would you, if someone had asked you to do the exams, would you have done them?
I might have tried and seen whether I enjoyed it or not.
I just enjoy getting... I like getting the things and all that.
Certificates?
Yeah, it's just nice to get certificates. And,
yeah, well, see, that's what I was saying before. I don't have any pieces of paper at all that prove that I can do any of that. It felt strange at the beginning until I just started performing more and more. And what you find out is that nobody in the audience ever asks for your certificates. They don't know, and they don't care.
You didn't go to university, did you? Or did
no.
You?
No. I thought of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we did... I would have gone. I would have been able to go if I had wanted to, mm-hmm. but the further along I went, the less purpose there seemed to be to it, because I was doing what I wanted to do, and I was able to do it, and I didn't seem to need anything except maybe jobs or opportunities or whatever, but you can't get that in university, I mean.
I'm Fred Jacobowitz, the Ebony portion of Ebony and Ivory.
Okay, and I was just asking Andrew how, you know, if you had any comments on the fact that he was completely self-taught and didn't go to any schools.
I'm astonished,
yes.
But at the same time, I have to remember that many of the, you know, the greatest minds in history were essentially self-taught in their, you know, in what they did. For example, Leonardo da Vinci was never taught to paint. He was never taught to sketch and draw. He taught himself anatomy so that he could, you know, paint better. So, you know, it's not that surprising that... here and there, there'll be people who just do it on their own. I'm rather shocked, because I can't do it, but... I guess I shouldn't have said shocked, I should have said rather amazed. Mm-hmm. You know, because someone can get to that level without, essentially, you know, anybody, without, let's say, a teacher teaching physical techniques of how to hold the hands, how for best effect to get a certain sound or color, and obviously Andrew figured that out on his own. When you think about it, more people used to do it. There are a lot of people who are self-made and self-taught, and you know, they just went out and got books and read and did. So yeah, I mean, it and you're right, it's rather unusual nowadays.
If you had one more comment, how was that experience being in Juilliard anyway? I'm just curious about that.
Juilliard was not a good experience at all for me. But I was there to study with my teacher, who was a good experience. But just about everything else that happened at Juilliard was. Well, except for meeting my wife, was really forgettable. I could have easily gotten a much better education at many other conservatories.
Goodness, okay, because there's so much, you know, talk about Juilliard and music and...
Depends on what instrument, and depends on how well-connected you are and how politically savvy you are playing the friendliness game. I was not.
Okay.
And I was also not a violinist. Or a pianist. They, you know, they're very high on the musical totem pole. I was nothing more than a lowly wind player.
I've often found with other musicians I've played with over the years, all of whom have Yeah, pretty much all of whom have at least studied music through university. I think they may feel, or they may wonder what they spent their time doing at school, if it's possible to do it another way. And I think they may not like to think that it is possible to do it another way. And that's not to say that they haven't. I mean, Fred's a wonderful musician. Mm-hmm. I don't know to what part of that you would say he owes Juilliard, and what part of that is just him, you know. And that's that would be for him to decide, I guess. But I think it, people who have gotten a lot of schooling in music tend to find it a little threatening.
I would think so.
You know, it's just like coming along and doing anything that someone else has a degree in, you know.
Hi, my name is Bromwing, and I'm going to play a song, a composition called The Sea is Rising.
Myself in paper, I'm gonna daub myself with glue, stick some stamps on the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.